Good evening and welcome to our message this evening. And for anyone who has opened this message as a podcast, please understand that this is a live teleconference meeting and there are people dialing in from around the country. And we will begin the message in about 3 to 5 minutes, so this will give them a chance to get here. So if you would like to join Freedom's Way on these teleconference meetings, they're held each Monday and Friday evening at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. The dial-in number is 605-475-2090 and enter the access code 373-363-pound or go online to www.freedomswayministries.com for information. If you would like to say hello at this point, feel free.
Now we have a couple people who have already joined. If you don't choose to identify yourself, that's okay.
Good evening.
Good evening. This is Helen.
Hey,
good
Helen.
Good to be here.
Welcome.
How you doing?
We're doing pretty well, thank you.
Good.
We are on the uptick here, doing well.
Good.
God is good.
Well, I hear Vicky's something under the weather, but I've been praying, and I know the Lord's going to take care of whatever. Both of you.
Well, he does take care of us, and she's...
Doesn't he, though?
She's had serious open-heart surgery about 3 weeks ago.
Oh, my word. So, I knew she was in the hospital, but I had no idea why. Did that come as a surprise?
Well, it was somewhat of a surprise. She was having episodes. We weren't sure to the degree of how serious it was until it sort of came to a head. Right at the end of the year.
Uh-huh.
So she's on the uptick, and she got through it, and she is home and recovering, and will be back with us real soon.
Good, good, good. That's wonderful. Well, she's been in my prayers. That's wonderful.
We appreciate that. God bless you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Anybody else come on that wants to say hello before we get started this evening?
Well, Luna, you guys are going to be blessed tonight.
Amen.
Amen.
This is our series, or we're actually wrapping up our series. It's not totally finished this evening. Let me introduce ourselves. My name is Phil Burdett, and...
Yeah, if you're
going to
get started, what time is it?
It is 8:32. Am I starting too soon?
No.
Okay.
But you would need to meet the phone.
All right, well, I'm going to go ahead and mute the phones then, and we will get started. Hallelujah. You're going to be blessed tonight, so hold on to your hat.
Okay. Good.
Hallelujah and welcome. This is Phil Burdett here with Freedom's Way Ministries. I'm here with my wife, Vicki. We are Freedom's Way Ministries, and our mission is to help everyone in the body of Christ come into their true identity in Christ, who they were created to be by Almighty God. That's our mission, and we do everything we can to help you in that. This is our Friday night teaching. It's going to be on the who, what, why, when, and how of faith. I'm going to pray us in, and we're going to get started here shortly. Father God, we just thank you for this time in your word. We thank you for the anointing on your word. We thank you, Lord, that you have a message for your people, and you're going to speak directly to their hearts tonight by the Holy Spirit. So we just thank you for this message, that you have brought it to life, that your anointing brings it to life, and that you are good, and you have our best interest in your heart. And we are so grateful for that, Father. So we just ask you to put your blessing on it, anoint it. In the name of Jesus, we turn aside any assignment from the Netherland that would try to divert or distract anybody from receiving what God has for them in this message this evening. And we thank you, Lord, for all of that and all that you are and all that you do. We bow the knee, we worship you, and all that we say and do. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, amen. Hallelujah. Okay, praise the Lord. So I'm going to go ahead and get started then. Again, the who, what, when, why, and how of faith. This phase three, part four, in a long series. We're winding down on it. Tonight, part four, important things to know about God's faith and applying it. And we're very excited about what the Holy Spirit is revealing as we go through this study of faith toward God. Those of you who have been on the line for the whole time know what we mean about the excitement. I can say I've grown tremendously in being able to use more of God's faith, and it just gets better all the time. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Last week, we talked about releasing God's faith from within us and the different types of confessions shown in the New Testament. So tonight, we're going to expand the knowledge of how to turn God's faith loose and give a sort of faith formula to use to apply God's faith in any situation. We're also going to look at a few important things we must know and remember about the God kind of faith. And some of them we have touched on before, but the Holy Spirit is going to take us a little deeper into these truths tonight. Hallelujah. So if you want to get the teleconference playback number and access code for each of these messages, please call Freedom's Way at 904-993-2876. You can also find this series of messages on Spotify or on the website, I believe. So let's get started. Last week, one of the things we said is that the Bible teaches believing and saying, not believing and thinking or believing and begging. Our confession in the Word of God straightens out our thinking. God's Word is our plumb line, and God gave us His Word so we can get our thinking in line with His thinking. The Word of God is meant to straighten out our thinking that has been twisted and warped by the spirit of the world and by the lies of hell. The Word, the Word, the Word. This is the primary thing we must have to use God's faith effectively and to apply His faith into challenging situations. Not one of us can believe beyond our knowledge of the Word. I'm going to say it again. It is not possible to believe beyond our knowledge of the Word. Our servant, which is faith is a servant, will not work without direction. And it is the Word of God which directs faith. So we entreat you to know the Word. Be sure to continually feed the Word into your spirit. And you will grow in that. Hallelujah. And your faith will grow. Thank you, Lord. So we also need to clearly understand that faith will not work above the level of our confession. It is important that we confess what we see in the spirit and not necessarily what we see in the natural. If you say what you have, you will continue to have what you say. When you say what you desire to have, you speak it into existence. And half of Romans 4 and 17 says, even God, who quickens the dead and calls those things that are not as though they were, speak it into existence by calling those things that are not as though they are. The thing hoped for will have substance only to the degree we confess it. We must believe those things which we say will come to pass. We must believe it. In order for this to happen, each of us has to discipline our vocabulary. Cut off and cut out words that negate our faith. Words that can't compromise the absolute lordship of Jesus Christ, and words that oppose our identity in Christ. Ask the Lord to show you a greater way and with more clarity word habits which fall into these categories, and to make you more aware of what you say even in casual conversations. Proverbs 18 and 7 speaks to this. It says, a fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. One of those we need to read a few times. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. Our confessions must be true to the word of God so that faith can work, and we are not snared by what we say and thrown into destruction. Here is the application formula for the God kind of faith. First, we must say it. Make a positive confession that lines up with God's heart on the matter. Then do it. Take a positive action to prove your belief. And before we go on, we have to pause for a word of caution. That is, don't tempt God. The devil will twist the word of God to try to get you to believe something foolish and tempt God. He even tried with Jesus. He told Jesus, throw yourself off this mountain and the angels will see that you don't get hurt. You know, they'll bear you up so you don't dash your foot against a stone, is what he told him. We should never act on a belief which opposes God's principles. In other words, if you say, I believe I can step off this cliff and float to the bottom of the canyon because God said he'd take care of me, or his angels will bear me up, you had better be darn sure that God told you to step off the cliff. Otherwise, your faith is going to kill you, because there is a principle working which was set up by God, and that principle is the law of gravity. The key to using this formula for applying God's faith in the do it part is that our confession must be in agreement with God. Okay, first we say it, then we do it, and next we receive it. How can we do this? Well, give yourself a mental picture. Give yourself a vision. See yourself in your mind's eye possessing what you say. This is so common, commonly used in the world today. Is in envisioning it or you put it in your mind, seeing it, close your eyes, seeing what it is that you want to possess. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Wow. As you envision possessing your possessions, make no provision for the flesh. Envision, but don't make a provision. In other words, don't try to make it happen. It is when we think we have to help God out that we end up in the most trouble. Think of Abraham and Ishmael. God promised Abraham a son. But rather than waiting on God, Abraham took matters into his own hands. And in his own reasoning and strength, Abraham created Ishmael. But Ishmael was not the child of promise. And it has been a mess from that time through to the present day. From Ishmael, we have the world has the entire religion of Islam, which carries the greatest Antichrist spirit on the planet. When we help God by trying to make something happen, we end up messing things up. The same thing is true when we go about telling God when and how we want something done. That is the director thing that we want to direct him. Know this, God is well able to fulfill his word. He doesn't need our advice on how to do it or even when to do it. So the bottom line is envision, don't make provision. Hallelujah. Romans 13 and 14 says, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. We do not have to make God's word good. We don't have to make it work. He'll make it good. It's not our responsibility or right to defend the truth. God will do that. He watches over his word to perform it. We simply cooperate with him by putting his faith to work. So we've started the formula. Now we're going to finish the formula. So here it is. Say it, do it, receive it, and finally tell it. Let someone in on your faith confession. Tell them what God has said and what he's done for you, your testimony. Luke 8, 46 through 47. And Jesus said, somebody has touched me, for I perceive that virtue is going out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. Our testimony, attesting to and affirming God's goodness and faithfulness, brings glory to the Father. It seals his word in our hearts and moves us into the place of overcoming. Okay, I will say it again. Our testimony, attesting to it and affirming God's goodness and faithfulness, brings glory to the Father, seals the word in our hearts, and moves us into a place of overcoming. I don't know anyone who doesn't want to be there. Hallelujah.
You know, the interesting part about overcoming is everybody wants to overcome, but nobody wants anything to have to overcome.
That's true. That's true. But think of that. Think of what overcoming means. Well, you got to have something to overcome or you're not overcoming. So, I mean, hallelujah. But God was the fourth man in the fire in Daniel. And he helped them walk through the fire, and he will help us too. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Revelation 12:11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Well, you know, don't be too convicted on loving your life too much, but if you release it to God, he gives you peace. And you don't have to hold on to that. Hallelujah. So, overcome the Lamb. We have to give the word of our testimony. That is faith in action. That glorifies God. That moves mountains. And trust God with the results. You do his business, he'll take care of yours. Hallelujah. There are a few essential things we need to know about having God's faith and being able to apply it. First of all, we must know that faith will not work in an unforgiving heart. Jesus tells us in Mark 11, when you stand praying, forgive. I think he said it for a reason. In Galatians 5, we learn that faith works by love. Love is forgiving. So we can't say we love our brothers and sisters if we won't forgive them. We can't say we love God if we are in unforgiveness over something or towards someone. Yes, that's very important too. We must forgive ourselves as well. That's one of the hardest ones for many people. But it does help in your growth. Forgive yourself, trust God, move forward. Only forgetting those things that are behind. That's what Paul said.
Because faith will not work in an unforgiving heart.
There you go. Faith will not work in an unforgiving heart. Without the pure motivation of love, faith can't work. Love must be the dominating, motivating force behind all operation of faith. One of the sure signs of a heart of love is forgiveness towards self and others. Hallelujah. So, big factor there. One of the biggest hindrances to having God's faith is the big me. When I'm busy holding on to what I have judged to be right, even if it is right, or holding on to my rights, even if I am right. Faith is hindered because I'm more interested in right than freedom. I'm caught up in being right, focusing on what I know, who I think I am, how I can credit, or why I should get credit. Well, there's me, I, me, and Joyce Meyer wrote a book, so get the I out of me. Faith won't work because the love that God meant to be an expression of himself in the earth is twisted into self-centeredness rather than God-centeredness. That's big. Love, the expression of God, not me, is the power charge behind God's kind of faith. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And another important thing about the God kind of faith is that faith is of the heart, not the head. We've said before, and we reemphasize it now, mental ascension will never give us faith or allow us to move in God's faith. Mental confessions without heart belief are empty words that will eventually fail. Mental faith is another me issue. Paul tells us in the book of Romans that with the heart, man believes. With the mind, man may think. But with the heart, he believes. So we want to talk now about our inward man, referred to as the heart man, or the heart here. So look at 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, verses 15 through 16. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed, day by day. So perhaps it's time to explore this inward man, the heart man, just a little bit. Our spirit man has nothing whatsoever to do with the mind or the body when it comes to believing. Matters of faith are strictly the domain of the spirit man. Satan can put doubt into our minds by way of thought. He brings from our past experiences, or maybe the words of others, or what we see with our lion eyes. Satan can give us symptoms in our bodies, infections, inflammations, infirmities, injuries to oppose the truth. Wow, you can really put, there's power in this right here. The Word of God will put faith into our spirit man in the heart, to counteract these thoughts in our minds and those symptoms in our bodies. Wow, that is meat stuff there. The Word of God will put faith into your spirit man, in our spirit man, in the heart, and it counteracts those things in our minds and those symptoms in our body. See, we make the choice right there what we're going to believe. We make that choice. Until we allow our spirit man to grow up, our five physical senses have a tendency to control what we believe in our minds. When we are immature in the word of righteousness, then what we see, hear, touch, taste, and smell are the things which shape our beliefs. As we mature in the word of God, of righteousness, which is the word of God, which is truth, the word then shapes our beliefs. Again, the only way for the spirit man to mature is through being fed the word of God, carried on the spirit of God. Acts 20 and 32 tells us it is the word of his grace which builds us up.
I want to interject here with just a little short testimony of this surgery. I don't know, you know, who all is familiar with the open heart procedure, but you know, every they saw through your sternum, so every rib in your body is broken, basically. And for the last 3 weeks, 2 weeks that I've been out of the hospital, I have not taken nor needed one single pain pill. And the only reason for that is because when the pain would start, I would pray and allow my spirit to take ascendancy over my physical body. And I assure you, God is faithful in that.
That is an astounding testimony. If any of you have been through any kind of surgery, no pain pills, wow, I'm flabbergasted. But let me move on here, or attempt to. Where we were saying was the word of God carried, the only way for the spirit man to mature is through being fed the word of God, carried on the spirit of God. You know, that's exactly what that does.
Exactly.
It's amazing. Acts 20 and 32 tells us it is the word of his grace which builds us up. Once our spirit man becomes dominant over our minds and our bodies, faith can operate effectively time after time. What a blessing.
Amen.
A mature spirit man takes no offense, holds no right to be right, has no unforgiveness, does not judge or criticize, is full of love and knows how to express it, and is led by the Spirit of God. Just as heart faith is not based on thoughts or symptoms, neither is it based on feelings. Confessing feelings is not a confession of faith. One of the axioms in our book, The Thursday Gift, states, feelings aren't facts. Well, guess what? They aren't truth either. Anytime we base our faith on feelings, we're headed for spiritual ruin. This is not to say we can't have an unction or an urging from the Holy Spirit to do a certain thing, but wisdom teaches us to test the spirit. It says, test the spirits to see that they're of God, to wait for God, to get confirmation, not dash off headlong into something we felt was the right thing to do. That is spiritual maturity. Listen to the voice of God. Practice his presence until you know it's him speaking. And his instruction does not come with a feeling. It comes with a knowing. Because feelings come out of the soul, and knowing comes out of the spirit.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We've already seen that faith works by saying, but faith also works by praying. We have biblical examples of both. Acts 3, 1 through 8 says the following. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple asked for alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then get that, expecting to receive something of them. Remember that. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones became stronger. And leaping he stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Now, note that Peter and John did not pray for this man. They did not bring his cause before the Father. The man was expecting to receive whatever anyone had for him. Peter spoke and said, I don't have any money, but I have the Lord of everything, and I'll give you some of him. So get up. Then he took the beggar by the hand and lifted him up. He said he did it. He said it. He did it. The man received it, and then he told it. This is our God faith formula in action. Now we're going to read in Luke 7, 11 through 15. And we're going to see this again. It came to pass that day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came near to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and many of the people in the city were with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, Weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, Young man, I say unto you, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. Once again, we see the same pattern. Jesus spoke, he acted, the man received, and told, he began to speak. There was no prayer involved in these examples of the God kind of faith, performing the works of God. But then we also have the example of prayer as a vehicle of effective faith. And we'll find that in Acts 9, chapters 36 to 41. Now, there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in the upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was near Joppa, and the disciple had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. And Peter arose and went with them. And when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber. And all the widows stood by him weeping, and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth, kneeled down, and prayed, and turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up, and he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive. Now, there is one extra word in this one. He kneeled down and he prayed. All right, so it's more than one word, but he kneeled down and he prayed. Peter made everyone leave the room where this dead woman lay. Then he prayed. Then he spoke and followed basically the same pattern of applying God's faith. Prayer, so prayer is always a good thing before you go to raise somebody from the dead, right? I think so. I think Peter prayed to make sure it was God's will to raise her up and to make sure he wasn't acting on his feelings. Maybe I'll ask him one day what he prayed when we meet him. Hallelujah. In any case, we see faith working both without prayer and after prayer. So we know prayer is not essential for faith to operate. And that's a big statement. Prayer is not essential for faith to operate. It is our confession from a heart of love and our actions in line with the Spirit of God's Word, which activates faith to operate. So know this, God's faith will always work for us. Often it works through us for others, to people who can't quite believe or maybe don't know enough word to have something to believe. God does give each person a will, but people who are willing to receive can receive through our faith when they don't know how to tap into the Holy Spirit for themselves. That's where the man at the gate beautiful was. He was willing to receive. He even expected to receive. He was positioned to receive. And Peter's faith, operating out of love, raised him up because he didn't have that. Hallelujah. But Peter was like, what is an interceded intercession? He actually moved the faith through Peter. God moved through Peter. Hallelujah. God moves through us too. I'm sure many of you have experienced it many times. What a joy. The highest form of faith, according to Jesus, the greatest faith is faith in the Word and its authority and nothing more. Don't you want more of that? Hallelujah. Matthew 8:5-10. And when Jesus entered into Capernaum, there came to him a centurion beseeching him, saying, the Lord, my servant, Lord, my servant lies at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to this man, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled. Wow. And he said to them that followed him, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not even in Israel. Hallelujah. The centurion recognized the authority of Jesus and said simply, just give the word. Speak the word only. And what I desire will be done. The Word of God is the ultimate authority. Believing it and nothing more is the highest form of faith. In God's sight, the lowest form of faith, or no faith at all, is the covenant man who seeks a physical sign before he will believe. And you all are familiar with this story in John 20:24-29. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. It was the act of the will. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. I would think that that would probably be just saying enough when he just appeared in the midst, okay, didn't come through the door here. But that wasn't enough for Thomas. Then he said to Thomas, Thomas, reach here your finger, behold my hands, and reach here your hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Hallelujah. Thank you that that is where we are. Hallelujah. However, we've seen. We've just seen evidences that other people can't see. But God is faithful. Jesus called Thomas faithless because he wanted to both see and feel before he'd believe. God wants us to believe before we see. When the angel came to Zacharias with the message of his wife, Elizabeth would bear a son, he wanted a sign. I got him in trouble. He was only looking at his body and his age, but that's faithless. We know how that worked out. Zacharias had his mouth shut for the whole time Elizabeth was pregnant. But God's faith worked in spite of his unbelief. Low-level or no-level faith requires a sign. High-level faith requires only the word of God. Love is the thing that makes faith work at its highest level. We love each other, we love the Lord, and we are fully persuaded, like Abraham was, that what God says he will do, he will do. We don't need physical assurance when we have blessed assurance.
I want you to say that again about low-level faith and high-level.
Okay. Low-level faith requires a sign. High-level faith requires only the word of God applied with love. Love is the thing that makes faith work at the high level. So we talked then about loving each other, loving the Lord, and being persuaded, like Abraham was, I will do what he says he will do. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to stop there tonight. Next week, we'll wrap up this series, finish the whole series. So let's pray. And if you're in agreement with this message and you want to be more faithful and less faithless, then I encourage you to pray this prayer out loud, and I will lead you in that prayer. So if you are ready, put on your faith, put on your believer. Hallelujah. Father God, once again, I thank you for this word of truth. Help me see, Lord, with my spiritual eyes, and speak those things I see in the Spirit. The good result, the positive vision, your perfect will, so that my confessions will move me into action to advance your kingdom in the earth. Make me bold in giving testimony to what you've done for me and what you're doing even now. Thank you, Lord, for reminding me that you are a just judge, that you will right all wrongs, that you don't need any help, and that when I go to sit on your throne, I only mess things up. I need your love, Lord, to flow through every fiber of my being so that your faith will work for me. Give me a greater understanding and a fresh resolve to help my spirit man mature. Keep me in your word, Lord, so that your faith in me is nurtured and strong to meet the challenges set before me daily. I declare to you today, I will not be led by my feelings or by my physical senses, which are governed by the natural world. I will be led only by your truth, Father, knowing that your truth is the only counsel which will stand. I repent to you, Lord, for those times I've allowed the spirit of the world and the voice of the enemy to take precedent over your word. I now know and am fully persuaded that your word is the only true authority. And I will speak it boldly, forsaking the confession of the world's reality and confessing your word over my life, my health, my circumstances, my family, my job, my possessions, and everything I do. The only sign I seek, Father, is the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, which is your Holy Spirit flowing through me. I declare that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is all powerful and effective to bring forth the manifestation of Christ through me. And I thank you that I am become walking proof, a living sign that the Son of Man is in heaven, seated in the seat of authority. Hallelujah. Amen. All right.
That is so powerful to realize that the true sign of the Son of Man in heaven is the Holy Spirit in us, proving that Jesus' sacrifice and his resurrection and ascension was acceptable to the Father, that he is in that seat of authority, pouring himself out into the world through us. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So, if you would like to speak, now's the time. And you can hit your *6 keys, and you will be heard. Love to hear. If you want to just say hello, that you're here. God bless you.
Questions, comments,
questions, any of the above. star 6, and then I will pray us into this glorious weekend in Christ.
Amen. Thank you again for a wonderful teaching tonight.
God bless, Patty.
God bless you, Patty. Thank you for being with us. Hope you got more out of it. I remember a day I was listening to Joyce Meyer, and I remembered clearly, this is like many years ago, but I would say, I just can't get that. I need to hear it again and again and again. And so that is the word. We need to hear it again and again and get it deep into our spirit. But thank you so much for your kind comments.
Well, I'll tell you, that really ministered to me tonight. Thank you so much.
Whew. Thank you for being with us. God bless you. Hallelujah. Lord, seal it in our heart. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Wow.
Love to hear that.
Praise the Lord. Love it.
Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank
you for your goodness. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good.
Yes.
God is good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Patty. Thank you for your comments.
Helen.
Helen. Hi, Helen.
Yeah, thank you so much. I missed Monday, and this is terrific. I am going to request some of the, you know, use the access number. This whole series, there's just no word to describe it. If someone gave me a choice between these teachings that have been going on, it's been almost 3 months now, or a mink coat, you know, which I would take. These are just, they are the best teachings on faith I think I've ever heard. So thank you very much, both of you, for all the work you've put into it. And you're in my prayers, Vicki. You'll be jumping rope before long.
Yeah, just text me and remind me so that I can send you those numbers.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, Helen. Thank you for your kind comments. God bless you. Thank you for being with us, too. You are such an inspiration. You are such an inspiration. God bless you. Hallelujah. Anybody else before we pray tonight into this weekend? I pray for power this weekend. Enter into God's rest, His Sabbath rest. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We must labor to enter His rest. Does somebody have a comment? If there's nothing, if there's no one else wants to say anything at this point, if you will mute your phone, I will pray us into this weekend. And I pray above all now that we have the rest of God, that we enter into His peace, His rest. It's Friday night, date night with the Lord. We love you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for empowering us to enter your rest. Thank you for your peace. It's touching your people now. Peace that passes all understanding. Ooh, hallelujah. Touch and heal. Thank you, Lord. Heal our hearts, our minds, Lord. Strengthen us in you, Father. You are good, our Father. You are good. And your mercy endures forever. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your word tonight, Father. I just ask you to seal it in your people's hearts, that they can grow in you, become more like you, and operate in your power in the earth as they are designed and called to do by you. And all of your teachings, Lord, help us so much to grow in that. So with your permission, my Father, I will bless your people as Aaron blessed the children of Israel in Numbers, the 6th chapter, with the Aaronic benediction. I'm going to do it in Hebrew and English. So I will sing it to the best of my ability. Hallelujah. Yivarech Adonai Ve'yishmarech Yisa Adonai Panav Elecha Yifunecha Yisa Adonai Panav Elecha V'yisem Lecha Shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift his face unto you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance unto you and give you peace, give you shalom. And I add in Yeshem Yeshua, in the name of Jesus, who is our Sar Shalom, our Prince of Peace. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Thank you for the Prince of Peace. Thank you for your anointing, Father, that passes understanding. And thank you that you have touched the hearts of your people and empowered them to rule in the kingdom, to operate in your power, Lord, because we are your body, and the body is connected to the head, and it's one body. Hallelujah. But thank you for your anointing and authority, Father, to go about and doing exploits for you in your name. I just ask you to give your people peace and camp your angels around them. Give them a glorious, God-filled weekend and bring them opportunities to tell others about you and to give their testimony to you, to others, to empower them in your faith, in your ways, in your strength, in all that you are. Lord, thank you so much for that. We bow the knee and worship you this evening with all our hearts, our minds, and our strength. We love you, Lord. We give you honor and glory this evening as you bless us with your presence in all that we do, in the mighty, matchless, glorious name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you all for joining us. God bless you. We love you. Have a glorious weekend. I hope to see you all on Monday morning at 7:15 at the King's Table on the same line. And again, Monday evening for another teaching on faith at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. God bless you all. I'll say it again. We love you. Have a great weekend. Bye now. Thanks for being with us.